This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
This is Women to Watch.
To rise above all of the noise and fulfill every last one of your dreams.
Women to Watch, sharing the real stories of the most accomplished women in the world.
It is for those frightened children who want peace. It is for those voiceless children who want change.
Be inspired by women from across the globe.
True philanthropy comes from living from the heart of yourself and giving what you have been given.
Who are encouraging more women to pursue their dreams.
What I know to be true is that women were always meant to lead. And by shining a light on those doing it well today, my hope is that more women will find their own voice.
Now, here's the owner, founder, and host of Women to Watch, Sue Rocco.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco, and it's great to be back with all of you. I hope everybody's enjoying a wonderful summer as we close in on August. Hard to believe. As always, be sure to stay with us during the breaks, where you'll hear from our exclusive watch team of women leaders bringing news and inspiration from their industries and their companies. We continue to be so grateful for their sponsorship and support of Women to Watch. As we continue to expand into new markets, we're always looking for additional companies to become a part of the show. And if you're interested in learning more, feel free to email taylor@womentowatch.net. And again, that's women, the number two, watch.net, N-E-T. Don't forget as well that you can download the podcast and never miss a show. You can sign up for our newsletter and connect to the podcast at womentowatch.net as well. So now I am very excited and honored to welcome to the show Terry Riley. Terry is the Senior Manager of Brand Strategy at Redwire Space. Terry, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is a great way to start the day.
And by the way, where are you joining us from?
I'm currently in Jacksonville, Florida. I actually live in Melbourne, Florida, but I am visiting our headquarters this week. So I'm traveling.
Good. Okay. Nice to be out, right? And traveling again.
Yeah, it was a little strange. I didn't really know how to pick out my outfits as quickly, but it is nice to be out.
Yeah, readjusting, right?
Readjusting. Yes.
Yeah. Listen, I wanted to start with your upbringing in New Orleans, and I wonder if you could just talk a little bit about what the community was like there. I think people who haven't been to New Orleans have an image of that place. But yeah, what was your community like growing up there?
Yeah, so I actually lived in a smaller town outside of the city itself, about 20 minutes out in a place called Kenner, which is very close to Metairie. It's a small town feel. There is, just a very small population of, at the time when I was there, of Latin American families, which is where my family is Cuban and Salvadorian, and so we have this mix. So it was a new town for us for sure, and it's just it has that small town feel with everything sort of around you. It's a very colorful place in the sense of the celebration of different kinds of cultures that kind of blend in there. It's a really nice melting pot. You're fairly close to the city, so, when there's certain events going on, it's always nice to travel in. But, I feel like it's a lot hotter than it is in Florida, where I'm at right now, just because the humidity is so bad there. But it's a place I visit often. My family still lives there, and it's something that's very close to my heart for sure.
Yeah. You and I spoke before the show, and a very poignant part of your life story is about your mother, and your mom escaped communism in Cuba and came to live in America. I wanted to ask you if you recall stories that your mom may have shared with you regarding that time there that have lingered and stayed with you, that had impact.
Yeah, and you know, my mom is one of five, and my grandparents traveled all together, seven of them, in one suitcase, and were all able to escape communism and come to the United States for a better life. My mother shared a lot of different kinds of stories, some happy, you know, some of the silver linings, or the moments where, you know, she made a friend, right, or something like that in the camps that she was at. Because my family wanted to flee the country, in some ways they were punished for having that ability to do so. And so my grandfather, who was a lawyer in Cuba, was stripped of his office, sent to the sugarcane fields, and had to work out there, be away from his family. And my mother, being the oldest of five, had to also go to camp, the military camps, work out in the fields, and attend school there. The one thing that I feel like always sticks out is she used to constantly fail the grade. Because there was a law that if you went into high school, you automatically had to stay. And so because she was older, she had to purposely fail along with other students that were there so that the family wouldn't jeopardize their trip over to the United States. So she was on purpose trying to not do so well, even though she knew all the curriculum already. So I thought that was really brave. I think that's really hard to hide, you know, when you're trying to sacrifice, you know, some of the things you're doing for the family overall. I think that's something that definitely stuck out. And I think her ability to be that person for her siblings, I think, is just an amazing quality about my mother.
Yeah. And, you know, as you were describing that, I'm thinking she really kind of sacrificed her own educational aspirations. And, you know, if she had not had to do that, she probably wonders, you know, where would she have ended up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, even when she came to the United States and she worked in New Orleans, because she was the oldest, she had the ability to work. She was 17 when she came to the country. And her siblings were able to go to school and get a much better education, or institutional, right? You know, being able to go to college, for example. Her and my aunt were really the ones working and trying to help my grandfather keep things afloat, because they came over with nothing. So she really did sacrifice a lot of her ambitions so that everyone else can move forward and rise up.
Another, you know, talking about your mom, of course, I wanted to mention that she's a breast cancer survivor. And that led to a very important decision that you made in your own life by having a preventative double mastectomy.
I did.
When did you make that decision? When did you decide that, you know, I don't want to have that worry hanging over my head?
Yeah, you know, I actually never imagined that this was something that I would do. I think, honestly, how it happened was interesting. You know, I went for my regular gyno appointment, and the kit that tests your genetic makeup was on sale that day, right? And my gynecologist recommended, you know, it's $100, take the test. You actually, you know, you have a family history. I'm pretty sure you don't have it. You know, it's really not a big deal. And I did. And that's how I got tested.
Wow. So the impetus was seeing that that test on sale and then asking the question. Yeah,
and
wow.
And asking the question. It was
meant
just sort of, it was really a moment of meant to be, and just, you know, having this relationship with my doctor and just always trusting in her and doing what she asks, you know, just recommends to do. I found out that I was BRCA positive, and it took me a little bit. It took me probably a good 3 months to really solidify my decision in moving forward. I had a lot of conversations with my mom, and I think even for her, she almost felt guilty, you know? She almost felt like she was the issue. that she had given me this gene. And so I think that was really hard for her to go through.
Yeah.
So eventually, I think walking through the with the doctors, knowing what our options were, the fact that I was eliminating the cancer possibility from 85% to 1%, was just a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You know, and I think I consider myself pretty lucky to have that choice, as so many women don't have that ability or didn't have that choice. I'm sure that many would have opted to have a preventative surgery and not go through some of the things that women have to go through when they do have breast cancer. So just like my mother. So I went ahead and I, you know, within the 3-month, 4-month period, I set up my first appointment and went through the process of meeting with a genetic counselor. I learned about all the different kinds of options. I also had a very high rate of ovarian cancer. So figuring out what was the best scenario, whether I, you know, do I do the double mastectomy first or the hysterectomy, which puts me right at menopause. So that was, you know, that was a scary thought. And then from there, you know, it was just easing into it and finding the support that I needed to make sure that, you know, I was making the right decision. And it felt like it was the right decision. I have 2 young kids, and seeing my mom go through what she went through in high school was very traumatic for me.
Listen, we're going to go into our first break and we'll pick up on this when we come back. Stay with us as I'm joined by Terry Riley, the Senior Manager of Brand Strategy at Redwire Space. We'll be right back.
Now, the Women to Watch, Health Watch.
For Health Watch, I'm Dr. Marianne Ritchie. Is medicine going to the dogs? Well, some people think so, but in a good way. Employing pets as complementary or alternative therapy to traditional medicine has earned a good deal of merit. This morning on Your Radio Doctor, our guest was Dr. Ed Cragen from the Mayo Clinic. He and colleagues wrote the definitive paper regarding the healing power of pets. The ancient Greeks found that horses lifted the spirits of the severely ill. Florence Nightingale noticed that pets reduced anxiety in psychiatric patients. Even Sigmund Freud used his dog to calm young patients. Are there solid data about pets and healing, or is it all fluff? Psychologists report overwhelming evidence that supports the healing power of the human-animal bond. Simply stroking a dog or cat increases happy hormones like dopamine, endorphins, giving a sense of wellness and serenity. Patients in a non-responsive state after stroke connect and begin to smile. Children of trauma or abuse interact with a pet and finally share their feelings. Prison inmates are calmer after contact with small pets, reducing violence, antisocial behavior, suicides, drug addiction, and it helps relationships between inmates and guards. Therapy also decreases cortisol, the stress hormone. Stockbrokers who interacted with pets saw a drop in blood pressure and needed less medication. Also, decreased need for antidepressants, increased focus and reading skills in children, physical gains like increased joint movement and exercise. Horses help veterans and first responders to heal from traumatic brain injuries and depression. The horse and rider work as a team to overcome obstacles. The patient learns coping skills that he or she can transfer to real-life situations. Sickness causes the human body to release volatile organic compounds that create gases, a scent that dogs can sense. Dogs can now detect ovarian, lung, even prostate cancer in urine specimens. Miami Heat is using dogs to screen fans for COVID before games. Hear the whole show on yourradiodoctor.net. I'm a Beagle Mom. On my toughest days, I could always count on Hercules, Seamus, Maggie, Libby, or Zeus to look at me with love in those soft brown eyes, then snuggle up and let me know that everything was going to be all right.
Now, the Women to Watch, Military Watch.
Hi, I'm Carol Eggert, Senior Vice President of Military Affairs at Comcast NBC Universal. Today, I want to recognize the United States Coast Guard, which will be celebrating its 231st birthday this Wednesday, August 4th. Now, I consider the Coast Guard to be one of the most complex of branches of the U.S. Armed Forces. Originally established at the request of Alexander Hamilton, yes, that one, Secretary of the Treasury, the precursor to today's Coast Guard consisted often of just cutters to act as revenue ships to enforce the tariffs of the new nation. In 1967, the Coast Guard was transferred to the Department of Transportation to monitor maritime transportation and other maritime safety missions. But everything changed after 9/11. In 2002, the Coast Guard was placed under the control of the newly formed Department of Homeland Security to contribute to the protection of the homeland by enforcing the nation laws at sea, defending more than 100,000 miles of the nation's coastline. But what a lot of people don't understand is that the Coast Guard can be placed under the Department of Defense during times of war. The Coast Guard is the only service that protects the United States in peacetime and wartime. Its motto is Semper Paratus, meaning always ready. And Lieutenant Junior Grade Nikki Barnes exemplifies this spirit. Barnes, in donning a different U.S. uniform as she became the first Coast Guardsman to make an Olympic team, she is competing in the 2020 Tokyo Olympics as a member of Team USA's sailing team. So let's wish a happy birthday to our Coast Guardmen and women, past and present, and be thankful we have people like Nikki Barnes protecting our shores.
This is Women to Watch with Sue Rocco, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. I'm joined today by Terry Riley. Terry is the Senior Manager of Brand Strategy at Redwire Space. And Redwire Space is a space technology developer. So we're going to have some really cool things to talk about as far as what's happening at that company. And actually, Terry was formerly with the International Space Station. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Something else you share, Terry, openly, which I think is really courageous, is that your dad battled alcoholism. And, you know, that is tough for any child. And I wondered, when did you have the ability to accept that you did not have the power to help fix his problems that led to that?
Oh, that is a great question. Probably not until I met my husband.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was actually when we were dating, I remember him asking me if I've ever done therapy for it, if I've ever talked about that time. I kind of didn't, and honestly, I sort of just brushed it off. That's something I feel like I learned about myself, is about just the trauma in general. Whenever I experience something like that, it seems to be something that I honestly forget about, right? I sort of block it out. There's certain memories I don't have. But I was not that great at relationships. And my husband he was my boyfriend at the time, he acknowledged that I had a really big wall up. And so we were on the path to get engaged, and we knew we were going to get married. So he suggested I try it, and I did. And working with that therapist is when I realized that it wasn't something that I could change or fix, no matter how many times I tried. You know, he went through and talked about the different things that I did to try to get him to stop, or try to get him to acknowledge the things that he would miss if he would pass, which he did, and that it wasn't our fault, and it definitely wasn't my mother's fault either. But right. it definitely was a tough transition. But I'm glad I did it, because now I feel like I can talk about it a little bit better than what I used to be.
Yeah, it's a very hard topic, and how did it help? I understand it helped you going through that experience. It helped you to be more present in your own life. I wondered what that connection was, how that helped you do that.
Yeah, I think because my dad died so young, he was 54, there was a lot at that time that was going on that he missed out, right? And so graduating college, getting married, having kids, not being able to meet any of the grandkids on his, you know, from myself, my brother or my sister, it just puts your thought process in perspective, right? And sort of acknowledging how important family is or how important those moments are. And so I feel like I actively really try to make sure that I'm present in the moments, especially the ones that are just, you'll never get back, right? And
So
worrying about or overthinking certain things that really don't matter, I think, is something that I try to do. Now, it's not always the case, right?
Right.
I think it's natural to overthink things or forget to be present, but I definitely try to be.
Yeah, I think that awareness is always the key, so you can bring yourself back to where.
Introducing WonderSuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the WonderSuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Where you want to be when, right? When those old thoughts creep in.
Yeah. And I think one thing I worked out was trying to always, trying to remember the happy moments, right? And there was so many of those. I think there's a really bad perception about, kids who grew up in this environment or, for example, you know, having an alcoholic dad, there must have been some sort of abuse or something along those lines, right? But my dad was a great dad. He was really funny and fun, and he had the quirkiest sense of humor. He was a family man. He worked until the day before he went to the hospital. I try to remember those moments, and I try to talk about that, not everyone fits into that stereotype.
Yeah, it's really the ability to separate the person from the disease that they're struggling with.
Yeah, I think my mother had a really hard time. And, you know, now being a mother myself, I think it's definitely something that I think about and her strength and in the whole process of it as well.
Yeah, I so appreciate you sharing that part of your story. I know it's hard. We're going to go into our next break. Stay with us for our watch team, and I'll be back with Terry Riley.
Now the Women to Watch, Nonprofit Watch.
Good evening, Women to Watch listeners. I am Cheryl Mackey, lead of financial empowerment at United Way of Greater Philadelphia and Southern New Jersey. At United Way, we believe in second chances for giving people the opportunity to change their lives for the better. And in that spirit, we invest in programming that provides the formerly incarcerated, known as returning citizens, the opportunity to participate in workforce programming that put them back to work and connects them to the resources to become productive citizens within their communities. More importantly, it connects them to their children and families. Children are oftentimes adversely impacted by experiencing the effects of an incarcerated parent. And the reality is, one out of 25 children in the classroom has an incarcerated parent. And upwards of 80% of incarcerated women are mothers. So at United Way, we want to ensure that we are rebuilding families through our efforts in providing opportunities for returning citizens to become gainfully employed and acquire housing stability to be best positioned to care for their families, which in return creates more prosperous communities. For more information on how to get connected to these supports, visit our website at www.unitedforimpact.org or call our helpline 211. I am Cheryl Mackey. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Sue Rocco here, host of Women to Watch. Are you a fan of the show? If so, be sure to sign up for our podcast at womentowatch.net so you never miss a show and can listen on your own time. That's women, the number two, watch.net, N-E-T.
You're listening to Women to Watch with Sue Rocco on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Welcome back as I have a conversation with Terry Riley, the Senior Manager of Brand Strategy at Redwire Space. Another thing about you that, you know, I have learned in my research and from talking to you is that, you know, you really created a very strong work ethic, again, because of your upbringing and your background. And that can be a really great quality, but it can also be a curse. Yes. And yeah, I wonder where things stand for you as you sit today in this senior position and have had, you know, a lot of success in marketing. Where are you in that ability to not work too hard, but keep things exciting and ambitious?
Yeah, I think I still struggle with that. I feel like, you know, through my upbringing, I was always surrounded by work, right? So, for example, I sometimes used to go work, or not work, but I used to go to work with my dad at Radio Shack, and he used to let me help him sell electronics, which, like, looking back, was a great strategy on his end because, you know, I got to greet the guests that come in and kind of learn how to work the cash register. I was, like, 8 years old.
Wow. I'm surprised that, you know, Radio Shack's a national company.
I know. They'd probably be mad at that.
Take your daughter to work day every day.
Yeah, every day. Besides that, you know, my mother used to take me to work. She worked for the airline business. So I used to be able to go to the airport and sort of shadow her sometimes. And also, I think it was acknowledgement where my parents didn't really say out loud that, you know, they couldn't find someone to watch me, right? So, like, now that I'm a mom, I totally get that. But, you know, even my uncles and my aunts, you know, and my summer jobs, you know, my uncles had a construction company. And so I used to have to pick up trash or put dirt underneath my aunt's house because it would sink in New Orleans. So it was just I've always felt like I was surrounded by work. So in high school, when I was able to get a work permit, I started working when I was 15, which is, looking back, it's kind of crazy to think about that. But, you know, I've been working ever since. And it right now in my leadership position, I really try to work with the team and giving them a little bit – I encourage them to be you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, I want them to have the motivation, right, and the initiative to take – to take and do things and be creative. But I don't really talk about how much of a workaholic I am, I think. You know, I don't say how sometimes I stay up late or work after hours because I don't want to encourage that behavior.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's something that's just ingrained in me as on a personal level. So I really try not to influence that unless that person is that way, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think besides my role here at Redwire, I have my own life goals as well. Right. So, you know, I think I try to focus on those as well after work hours or, you know, I feel like I don't know how to relax. And so that's where I think I still struggle with figuring out, you know, what the work ethic and trying to acknowledge that, yes, it can be a curse sometimes.
Yeah. And it's funny because speaking to you and listening to you, you sound like a very calm, relaxed person. Oh. And here's, you know, something we talk about on the show a lot is I think you working too much if you're not happy is not a good thing. But sometimes women enjoy the busy, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So and how would you describe your ambitions? And
yeah, I love being busy. I do. And when I'm not busy, I start thinking about all the things that I could be doing. And then I just get stressed out about it. So I really do enjoy it. And, I have kids at home and they keep me very busy. And I think, family time is family time. I really do enjoy it. I do like the work that I am doing, so I do find joy actually in doing my marketing campaigns or working with the team. I find a lot of joy in my job, and I think at Redwire it's so great here, and it's a place that allows me to work well, be happy about it, and also allows me to be a mom at the same time. And I think that's something that is so important in any company that you work for.
It's something all the companies are recognizing now, right? That there's no work-life balance, it's just life.
And it's
It's just life. I want to share this quote. You said, "I love solving puzzles and enjoy researching human connection and how we change and adapt to our modern world." Tell me what that means to you.
Oh, yeah. I have a bachelor's in psychology, and I think true to that and true to my nature, I do find the puzzles of how humans connect with others, or just how they connect to their environment, or what triggers them to change certain aspects of their lives or certain behaviors, is really fascinating to me. And so when I work or think about those things, you know, it goes hand in hand with some of the work that I'm doing, right? When we're surveying certain pieces of content, being able to learn and research how human behaviors change or how they're consuming content is actually a really important skill in the field. But just in general, I'm just curious how people adapt and how they don't and how they change course. I think it's fascinating to talk to individuals. And I mean all sorts of individuals, right? Especially those who don't think like me. It's fascinating to see what goes through their minds.
How did you get the job at International Space Station?
Oh yeah, that's a good question. So that job is another one of like where it was just meant to be. I was working at Discovery Channel for many years in Miami, and we were sort of tired of the city life, and we wanted to move a little bit. Now, we only moved about 3 hours north, right? Because I had never been to a smaller town, and so Melbourne was the smallest town I've ever been to, and even then, it's not really that small, right? I'm exaggerating, but I felt, you know, that was far enough. So I had a friend or an acquaintance that I had met years ago while I was working at Discovery, and he happened to be living in Melbourne, and he was their CFO for the National Laboratory for the ISS. And he asked me what I was doing. I said I was going to be working remote for a little bit until I was going to find something more local when I was ready. And my thought process was I was going to go work at Disney or Universal and, you know, continue my path of working for a network. And he called and he said, you know, that we have a marketing position. It's actually a coordinator position. It's an entry-level position, but it's for the ISS National Laboratory. And we'd love for you to come in and check it out. And I did. And knowingly, I went to a position that was about three steps below where I was at Discovery. But I fell in love with the mission, what it stood for. I was just sort of thinking, you know, this is the closest I'll ever be to space. And I would have never in my wildest dreams thought that I would be working for a company or working alongside with NASA and just experiencing that whole industry. And here I am today, and I feel like it's been a track that I was meant to be on, and I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, great. I want to talk more about what you're doing today, what's being developed, what you're excited about, because many of our listeners probably are not familiar with Redwire Space. So stay with us for our watch team, and we'll be back with Terry Riley, Senior Manager of Branch Strategy at Redwire Space. We'll be right back. Next is our Coach's Corner podcast, which is a shorter version of our weekly show and can be heard wherever you get your favorite podcast.
I'm BJ Gray with this week's Coach's Corner.
I love this notion of having a toolkit of skills to help you cope at work. Dealing with a project that is stressful is completely different from dealing with conflict with a colleague. The project creates an external stress, but conflict with a coworker brings up an internal drama, which is more debilitating and more distracting. The most common distractions are blaming that person and feeling misunderstood. And if you're going to be able to get to a place to resolve the conflict, you'll have to have three things. One, being able to release judgment. Two, being open to different perspectives. And three, know that both of you are in it for the same reason, the same goal for the company. The one tool I use with my clients to be successful in these three areas is thought management. When you develop the skill to manage your thoughts and understand that thoughts are choices, you're able to resolve any conflict. Navigating a workplace relationship is more important than anything else you'll do in your job, and you need a toolkit of skills in order to not only preserve that relationship, but perform at your best.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Coach's Corner. Connect with me directly on LinkedIn or at bjgray.com. Until next time, I'm BJ from Coach's Corner.
Now, more of Women to Watch with Sue Rocco on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. I'm having a wonderful conversation with Terry Riley. She works in brand strategy for Redwire Space. And Redwire builds, if I'm going to attempt my description of what it is, a very simple one. Builds innovations for aerospace partners. And I guess two questions. Who are the partners, right? Mm-hmm. So who is Redwire servicing, and what is being, you know, what innovations are taking place today that you're excited about?
Yeah, so and you're right. We do build a lot of innovations. We are a company that delivers reliable, economical, sustainable infrastructure for space, right? So that can mean a lot of different things. We have a big variety of solutions and services that we offer to the industry. The industry partners could be anyone from, you know, and I'm going to name some that I know probably viewers already know about, but, you know, like if we're working with a SpaceX or a Blue Origin or a Sierra Space, those are all potential partners. And then also NASA's a partner, right? So we're on the commercial side, and we help provide solutions for some of those important missions. And to give you a really good example is we just launched not too long ago a pair of solar arrays called iROSA. And those are two of six solar arrays that were delivered to the International Space Station, and that provides a power boost to the station itself. So wow. The solar arrays that were on station were just starting to show a little bit of their age, and so our company was able to develop a really great patented technology called ROSA. And it's solar arrays that are now on the station providing that extra boost, and we're going to launch a few four more next year. And you'll see that same technology in other missions that go beyond the ISS. So think about, you know, how we're getting to the moon, or how we're hopefully one day getting to Mars. There's a great mission called DART, which is really amazing because it's redirecting an asteroid, right? So
wow,
it's powering a spacecraft that will redirect that and hopefully see movement, and that would be a test. You know, that's under planetary defense with NASA. So we're doing some really amazing things, and I haven't been this excited about a company in a really long time. We just have some of the most brilliant minds I've ever seen, and just it's a really great time to be a part of the industry.
How big is your team? I mean, it seems like there'd be a lot of content to be managed.
Yeah, so our company right now is about 500 employees. We are growing. My team individually is probably about like 10 folks or so. And
okay.
We're going to hopefully be growing that as well.
Yeah, and just leave us with, you know, when you think about your future there, what are your aspirations for, you know, down the road?
Yeah, so what's really great about it is I'm actually reliving these space lessons all over again, right? I get to live in these historic moments and kind of, you know, just really acknowledge them and teach my kids about them all at the same time. It's just really fun. You know, I think my aspirations here is to build a really great brand. One that is long lasting, one that has the real reputation of being authentic and innovative, because that's exactly who we are. We're sort of the friendlies of the industry, right? We want to work with everyone. We want to create a sustainable future for everyone in space. We want to continue providing sort of that ambition that every human has to fulfill curiosity and continue discovering. I think if we're able to accomplish that and able to accomplish people asking more questions and really just digging deeper into what can we accomplish in space, I think that would be really amazing to be part of.
Yeah, I would love to have you back because I have so many questions about space. I've always been fascinated. And I couldn't fit all that into the one show, but I think there's so much unknown, right?
There is.
Out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So much.
So much going on, and so much that we just don't know. We don't know until we go, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
So it's just everyone is discovering at the same time, and it's really neat.
And it must be fun for your kids to know
what
mom does for work.
They think I'm an astronaut sometimes. I don't always correct them, but I'm not.
Maybe one day. Listen, I am so appreciative of your coming on and being so open about your life story, and I wish you continued success there.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Stay tuned next week for my conversation with Nina Tandon. Nina is the CEO and co-founder of Epibone. Have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Women to Watch with Sue Rocco, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Krause at 267-261-3428. Not reflect the views of WPHD or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.